To join me in Galatians chapter 5. We're in the last week of a three-part series on walking in the Spirit. We talked about last week and the week before that walking in the Spirit, at least my understanding, it's living in an awareness of the presence of God. And living not only in an awareness, but living in a nearness and a closeness and a sensitivity to God's Spirit. And that walking in the Spirit is more than communication with God. And we don't take that lightly, communication with God, that we get to talk to Him and we get to hear from Him. But we see that throughout the Old Testament about people talking to God and hearing from God. But walking in the Spirit, because of what Jesus has done, whereby He's given us access to the presence of God 24/7, where we live in an awareness of His Holy Spirit, that His Holy Spirit indwells us, that our spirits have been made alive, that it's not just about communication, it's about communion. And it's about a closeness with God. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, and peace. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we've talked about the first six. And so this morning, we're going to spend the next few moments together talking about the last three, at least the last three in this list. And then the next one is about faithfulness. Faithfulness is not always connected to a long period of time. So sometimes our minds, when we think about faithfulness, it's connected to some kind of length of time, such as a long marriage. My aunt and uncle, she just recently passed away. My uncle had passed away a number of years ago now, 63 years. And sometimes we look at those kinds of relationships and talk about faithfulness in marriage or faithfulness in friendship, where there's a phrase, "I have been and always shall be your friend." And we look at faithful friends who stick together. Also look at faithfulness in church and being part of a church family, about not walking out or bailing or calling it quits, but going through life together. And so there's lots of ways that we look at faithfulness over long periods of time, but sometimes faithfulness doesn't have the connotation of a long time. It can be short. For example, you can be faithful when a friend goes away and asks you to look after their outside plants. They're going to be gone. You're going to be gone for 2 weeks, and all you need to do is be faithful for 2 weeks, three times a week to water the plants, and can prove yourself faithful. Or if you have some people that happen to be in my life, you see dead plants, that it didn't quite work out as we had hoped. Faithfulness doesn't have to be over these long periods of time. They can be short. It really has to do with this. Faithfulness has to do with being entrusted with care. That it says that we're worthy of trust. The wonderful thing about God, when we talk about God being faithful, we sing songs like "Great is Thy Faithfulness." We're saying that He is worthy of trust. And He has a tremendous track record. We sing a song that we talk about God's faithfulness, that His promise still stands. I think we may have even sang it last week. "Your promise still stands, great is Your faithfulness. I'm still in Your hands, this is my confidence. You have never failed me yet." And I love that song, and I felt that we really had an intimate time with the Lord last week as we're singing that. "Your promise still stands. This is my confidence. You have never failed me." And then I stumble over that last word. You've never failed me yet. You can say it in a way, and this is how I say it and how I sing it, and I would trust that you do as well. "You've never failed me yet." Like, look back and you've never failed me. But there can also be the phrase that I hear that I fight against almost every time we sing that line. "You've never failed me yet." Like, it could be like we're still checking this out a little bit, but that's not how we sing that line. We sing that line, you have never failed me yet, and you never will. This is my confidence. This is my assurance, and we're confident your promise still stands. He is the unfailing one, the trustworthy one, the faithful one. Jesus tells a story about a man who entrusts some resources to three individuals. And two of them were very responsible in stewarding or taking care of those resources. One of them, not so much. The man leaves, he comes back, and to two out of the three, he'll say this phrase, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things." And it has to do with what's been entrusted to our care that we're faithful with for a long time or for a little, however long we have it. And that's one of the ways I think about Cornerstone Church and the people who attend here, is that God, I will be faithful as long as they are here. I will be faithful to pastor and to shepherd and to care. That I feel like I can't do anything about those who are not here, but I can do everything about those who are here. And so while you, for however long, for whatever season you entrust people here, I want to be faithful to my assignment here. And I love this phrase that Jesus says that to the servants. He said, You are faithful. It means this: you are worthy of trust. I can trust you. And so you were faithful over little. I can entrust you with more. If you're faithful with little, I can entrust you with more. And I want that to really be tangible in my life. That there, it's not just that I work it up and somehow try and sweat faithfulness, but it's what we've been talking about these last 2 weeks is it's not something that even is a work that we can produce. It's something that the Holy Spirit produces in our lives. It's a fruit. It's an evidence. It's an overflow of a nearness with God that He shapes in us character to be able to be faithful. And I wondered this morning if we could ask ourselves a question when we think about faithfulness. What's been entrusted? What has been Ben, what has been? What do you got? Sometimes spell check. What's been entrusted to my care? I got to go to the next slide just to get that thing off of there. Can we go back to thinking through the real question of what has been or being to ease, being entrusted to my care? What's been entrusted to your care? Relationships. What's been entrusted to your care? God, would you help me to be faithful? Would your Spirit so work in me that I can be trusted with what you've placed in my care? God, and it's not just because I can somehow work it up and will, and I'm just going to be different, and I'm going to be faithful. God, would you transform me by your presence and by your Spirit that helps me look more like you? The God who is faithful, let there be a work in my life. For all the times where I've been unfaithful and failed, God, would you wash that away with your blood and allow me a fresh start to live as a faithful person? Not only does faithful have to do with that you're entrusted with care, you're entrusted with responsibilities, that you're trustworthy, but it has to do with a trustfulness. And trustfulness has to do with extending trust, that you are a giver of trust, that you're a trusting person. And it doesn't mean that you're gullible, but it doesn't mean that you're suspicious. Is that somehow there's a quality in us that we believe in other people, that we take a risk with other people, is that we will extend trust, and we won't just assume, oh, they'll let us down again. Oh, that they can't count on them. They're not reliable. But it has to do with believing in people and hoping. And there's a sense of trustfulness. I was watching a movie with our girls this past week, and there was a line in it that one of the characters said to the other, and he said, "Why do you think that it's going to turn out differently this time?" Had to do with a relationship. Why do you think it's going to turn out differently this time? All you're doing is getting hope up. And the other character said, would you rather live in a world without hope? And that somehow stood out to me. All you're doing is getting hope up. Yes. Good. Get some hope up. Let's not live in a world without hope, but let's hope and believe and trust. There's in 1 Corinthians, it talks about love bears all things. And it's this phrase, love believes all things. It's not that we're gullible, but we're not suspicious. We're faithful. We bear all things. We'll endure, but we won't be suspicious. We'll trust and trust and trust. We'll try again to believe that maybe it'll work out differently this time. God's Spirit working in us, so we are a faithful people. The next is gentleness. Two things about gentleness. One is gentleness. Some of your versions of the Bibles will say meekness. It's not weakness. We've heard that phrase sometimes from years ago. Meekness is not weakness. Gentleness, it's strength under control. It's not weak, but it's strong. Scripture repeatedly talks to us about being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It doesn't talk about being strong in ourselves, because there's an end to that. And in fact, Isaiah 40 will talk about the youth and the young men, as much strength as they have, as strong as they can be, there is an expiry of that strength. It's going to fail. It's going to faint. It won't last forever, no matter how strong. Even the young guns are gonna faint and fail. But I love the verse that goes before it, because it says that He gives power to the weak, and those who have no might, He increases strength. It's this place where God breathes strength into us. God encourages us. God strengthens us. I thought that's the gentleness that I want to have in my life, where I'm able to strengthen other people, and the strength that God has. I think one of the best pictures in all of Scripture about gentleness, when Jesus says this, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You're exhausted, you're tired, you're weary, you're heavy burdened, you're laboring, I will give you rest. And then look at what it says, for take my yoke upon you and learn from me. There's some learning to be done. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take my burden, take my yoke, come walk alongside with me, and I will carry the heavy end. I will carry the big end. I don't know if you have ever, I have numerous times, moved barbecues, either for myself or for people, and if it's a propane barbecue, and the propane tank is on the inside, and it's full, there's a heavy end. The one with the propane tank. And so when you lift it, you think, wow, that's heavy. You go to the other side that just has a little bit of the frame, that's much lighter. And so you want to make sure you strategically place the other person at the heavy end. Now, you can't let on that your end is any lighter at all. Like, oh, you know, and up the stairs you go, or out to the trailer or whatever. Jesus does that for us. Not takes the light end and pretends. He's the God who takes the heavy end. Come to me if you're weary and burdened and heavy laden. If it's crushing on you, come to me, learn from me, and take my weight. I'm gonna take the heavy end and carry this together. My burden is light. Sometimes we hear the scripture that says God will never give you more than you can bear, which isn't a scripture at all. Because I can't bear Tuesday. You know, like, what? It's just, I always have more than I can bear. That's why I need a Savior. That's why I need Jesus, and that's why I need His strength. Years ago, someone penned these words as a prayer. Dear Lord, so far I've done everything right. I haven't gossiped, haven't lost my temper, haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent, and I'm really glad about that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to have to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm going to need a lot more help. He's a tremendous burden bearer. He helps carry the load. When gentleness shows up in our lives as produced by the Holy Spirit, it's us who come alongside and extend our strength that He's given us to them. and it helps carry the load. Gentleness has to do with the strength, and it makes the pack lighter. A number of years ago, we had the privilege of ministering in India. This isn't a picture of that. And as, man, India looks a lot like London. As we'd been there a couple weeks ministering to our friends there and the churches in India, our Foursquare churches, we traveled from India to London, and it was just Audrey and I. We were meeting our kids in London. First time the kids and Audrey were going to be there and tour London and have a time and see the sights. And somewhere from India to London, Audrey started to get really cold. And so she put her blanket on, and then she took my blanket, and then she took another blanket. And we realized mid-flight that something was wrong. We landed, saw the kids, got to where we were staying. She went to bed just so unwell. I remember praying and praying and praying, and things got worse before they got better. Just kneeling, praying by her bedside. One of the most dangerous things you can do is look up symptoms on the internet. And so don't do that. I did it. And it looked like the number of things that she was experienced was similar or identical to dengue fever. We didn't know much about dengue fever. She rested, but she was determined to see London. And just determined to see the kids. We had return tickets. We were there just a few days. We were going to be headed home, and so we would drag her around London. She'd be up when we'd go out to the tube station. She'd get on the tube. She'd sit down and fall asleep, and we would wake her up at the next stop. We never forgot her. We always, you know, carry on, bring her with you, whatever, and. So she'd get up, and I remember being in Westminster Abbey. We're on a tour there, very boring. And the tour guide said to her, "Here, you need to sit down." And he reached behind a little place and said, "They give us water for the tour guides. You need this," and could just visibly see that she was unwell. Well, determined to see all that we could see, we ended up going to St. Paul's Cathedral. St. Paul's Cathedral has a dome on the top of the dome, and you can actually go all the way up to the top of the dome of St. Paul's Cathedral. As we were inside St. Paul's, she determined that she was going to go up the stairs. And so as we entered this little stairway that winds up to the top of St. Paul's, Dougie went in front of her, the girls, I went behind. I grabbed her hips and lifted just a little, and she took a step and another step and another step. 528 steps later, we made it to the top of St. Paul's. We rested, we let other people pass by. She made it to the top. I only added a little gentle strength. Just came alongside and compensated for the elevation and just gave a little lift, but 528 steps later, we were at the top. And I think, see, she did it. I just added a little. And I think somehow that's what we need to do for others. When we talk about the Holy Spirit working gentleness in our lives, that there's a strength that he works in us, that we are able to extend to others. It's not that we take over everything. It's not that we do it for them, but we come alongside and we just make it a little easier. We just give a little lift. Now, how does this work out today? I assume that none of us will be at St. Paul's today, and I don't recommend grabbing someone else's hips as you're going up the stairway. What do we do? Instead, words of encouragements. We're able to come alongside and speak life and encourage and strength and acts of service and help. However we can bring strength to others, as the Holy Spirit would show us, would lead us, would open our eyes to be able to come alongside and be a strength for others. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The other thing that I think gentleness, that the Holy Spirit produces in us to give strength to others is making sure, being aware of, that we're not making it more difficult for other people. Being a difficult person is not a ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. Making it harder than it needs to be. And you can see this when we become quarrelsome or argumentative or full of conflict or confrontation or strife or contention or critical. And sometimes it's, well, you can do nothing right. Or if you do it right, you didn't do it at the right time or the right way or how someone else would have done it, on and on. That's just making the pack heavier. And instead, Jesus comes alongside. He says, come, be yoked with me. Let's walk this together. I'll take the heavy end. I'll help lift, and I'll make your journey lighter. I'll bring the strength that I have, and together it will be easier. It's not somehow when you're not looking, Jesus is putting that extra bricks in your back. No, it's not. He takes the load off, and he lifts us. And I think that's what gentleness is all about, as we bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Does that make sense? Yeah. Self-control. Let's skip this one. Oh, wait. Probably shouldn't do that. It is something that we don't have to manufacture. And that gives us great relief and release. We don't have to manufacture self-control. It's something that the Spirit of God produces in us. When we talk about the nearness, walking in an awareness of the presence of God and walking near to God, we discover that it's not that self is in control. We discover that self is under control. It's not somehow placing self on the center. Okay, self-control. Self, you are now in control. It has everything to do with self is under control, under the lordship of Jesus, but walking with his Spirit, that his Spirit is the one who says yes and no, who leads us. It's walking in a nearness to God and not letting self have a deciding vote. It's not that self is in control. Rather, it's under control. Control the Spirit of God. We are never free from self, from motives, from thoughts, from actions, sometimes from habits. But we no longer need to be pushed around by our selfish desires as we allow God's Holy Spirit to shape us and form us and fashion our character. We submit ourselves to him. Jesus be Lord. And he works in us no longer as self in control, but we're attuned to his Holy Spirit and we're able to walk in the Spirit and so not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. I'd like to read to you this morning in closing a paraphrase of, I think, one of the best sections of Scripture that talks about this, about not letting sin reign or selfish desires reign, but letting God's Spirit reign in you following Jesus. It's Romans chapter 6. And it's a paraphrase of this passage of Scripture. But if you would just listen to these words as the writer will paraphrase this. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ. A decisive end to that sin miserable life. No longer at sin's every beck and call. What we believe is this. If we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him. But alive, he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin, but alive to God. That's what Jesus did. That means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. So, since we're out from that old tyranny, does that mean we can live any old way we want? Since we're free in the freedom of God, can we do anything that comes to mind? Hardly. You know well enough from your own experiences that there are some acts of so-called freedom that destroy freedom. Offer yourselves to sin, for instance, and it's your last free act. But offer yourselves to the way of God, and the freedom never quits. All your lives, you've let sin tell you what to do. But thank God you've started listening to a new master, one whose commands set you free to live openly in his freedom. I'm using this freedom language because it's easy to picture. You can readily recall, can't you, how at one time, the more you did just what you felt like doing, not caring about others, not caring about God, the worse your life became and the less freedom you had. And how much different it is now that you live in God's freedom, your lives healed and expansive in holiness. As long as you did what you felt like doing, ignoring God, you didn't have to bother with right thinking or right living or right anything for that matter. But do you call that a free life? What did you get out of it? Nothing that you're proud of now. Where did it get you? A dead end. But now that you've found that you don't have to listen to sin for it to tell you what to do, and have discovered the delight of listening to God telling you, what a surprise! A whole, healed, put together life right now with more and more life on the way. Work hard for sin your whole life, and your pension is death. But God's gift is real life, eternal life, delivered by Jesus, our Master. Isn't that a beautiful rendition of what it's like to live free? Free from sin, not at its every beck and call. We now have a choice. We're free not to do whatever we want, but free to obey. Sin no longer has a vote. We get to say yes, and that's what self-control is all about. By his Spirit working us in us, self is now controlled because we are submitted to his lordship. When we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. They don't show up in our lives. What instead happens is we walk in the Spirit. There is a love that is shed abroad in our hearts. And a joy that is unspeakable. We can't even contain. Because our reward is in heaven. Our joy isn't based on things on the earth. There's a peace that passes understanding that guards our hearts and minds. And we can go through anything. Because it's a demonstration of the nearness of God. We can go through anything because he gives us his peace. Patience, which is long-suffering. Kindness, it's not just that we do kind things, but we have a kind heart. Goodness, it's generosity, and it's not just being good, it's doing good. Faithfulness, that we are trustworthy and that we're trusting. Gentleness, that we offer our strength to others. The strength that he has deposited in us. And we come alongside people and say, let me take the heavy end. Let's do this together. And self-control, that self is controlled as we yield our lives to walking in the Spirit. Can we go ahead and pray this morning? Father, thank you. Thank you that you have not left us to be distant from you. That when Jesus ascended to heaven, the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, was sent to us, and we have received your Spirit as we have received you into our lives, and we've been born again, alive unto God. You've given us spiritual life. We're so grateful that you didn't leave us orphans, but that you gave your Holy Spirit. And even now, we're so grateful that we can live and walk in an awareness of your presence. Jesus, I pray for each one of us today that there would be such an awareness of your presence, that that's what we would live in. We would know, we would walk not just in communication with you, but we would walk in communion with you. That it's in you that we live and move and have our being. That we We live life with you. And Lord, we're not somehow trying to produce something in and of ourselves. We want you to transform us. God, we're tired, we're exhausted, we're weary of trying to make change ourselves because it can't be done, and it doesn't stick, it doesn't last. But God, when you shape our character, you change us. Your word tells us as we behold you, we are changed from glory to glory. God, we want to live in that nearness, beholding you, that you would change us and transform us into the image of your Son. God, help us to walk in a nearness and just to release control to you. That we would be led by the Spirit. That our character would be formed and fashioned. That those things that we've talked about these last 3 weeks would be demonstrated in our lives. Not just that we would be a loving person, but that we would touch this world with love. And that somehow your kingdom would be expanded to others as it extends from us and in us, oh God. We want to be people of the Spirit, full of all the gifts, full of all the fruit, but just demonstrating that we know our God, that we walk in nearness with you. God, thank you. Thank you for being with us today. Seal these things in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just before we sing this song, Tara, I'm going to talk now and then we can do that. I've had this picture in the last few days. I think it's appropriate right now to share. It's like God is drawing people to himself. Even if I can phrase it this way, like a magnetic pull. There's this pull of his Spirit. We can't even come to God unless his Spirit draws us. But there's this sense in my heart that God is drawing some people like a magnetic pull. But here's the concern that I felt was from the Lord, that there are one or two, there's people here this morning who, you know, if you have one magnet pulling on another, if that other magnet is the poles are facing the same way, instead of a pulling together, there's a resistance. And the closer you get, the stronger the resistance. And the stronger the fight. And it's like felt God was saying, I want to be in control. In coming to me, in drawing you to yield your life to me. But there's a resistance that says, no, I need to be in control. And I don't mean just of your life, and maybe of your, but of a situation, circumstance. I don't know. And it seems like even as God's drawing you and wooing you with his Spirit, that there's a few who would say, every time that happens, I push away. Every time that happens, I'm not ready for that. And I believe by the Spirit of God, the answer is just so very simple. Just turn your life around. Just turn around. Just yield that. And instead of a resistance and a pushing and it being so hard, that when you just make that flip, that there's an attraction that happens. And when you get closer to the Lord, the attraction gets stronger. And you think, if I do that, I'm going to lose my freedom, or I can't trust that situation. Tara talked about our trust having borders. It's removing the borders and saying, okay, God, I trust you. And instead of when I get near to your presence, we were talking, singing the song about there's showers of mercy and grace on every face. I thought, oh, would to God that that's the case. That we're all responding in the presence of Jesus. And we can. If you would just say, okay, Lord, I give up. Okay, Lord, I give up. And what you have been afraid of, concerned about, worried about, you'll discover that Jesus isn't the problem, he's the answer. Whatever you're facing, You'll discover that that magnetic pull was never something to be afraid of or to push away from a closeness with God. You'll discover that's where true life is and that's where freedom is. And I don't know if your situation is going to change, but I know this, that He's going to give you the grace and the strength to go through it. That it is going to be better because you're no longer resisting or fighting. There may be nobody else in this room who knows that that is an internal struggle that you're facing. If we look at the life of Paul, when he is on the road to Damascus and gets knocked to the ground, Jesus says this to him, Paul, this has been hard for you. It's been hard for you to resist. You look at the pages of Scripture, you'd have no idea that there was any resistance going on in his harder life. But Jesus just revealed and said, this has been hard on you doing what you're doing. You've been kicking against the goads. You've been resisting my spirit. Nobody else knew, but Jesus knew. And this morning, it's not a point of condemnation, but it is a point of confrontation to say, let this be your day. Let this be your moment to yield your life completely to the Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm coming. And to receive, as the team leads us now with this song, freedom reigns in this place. Jesus reigns in this place. Allow the presence of God to overwhelm you and just come before Him and say, Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm no longer resisting. I'm turning this around. I'm allowing the draw of your Holy Spirit to draw me close and watch the transformation that takes place. As we behold Him, we are changed. Freedom. What shall we say then? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? In all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.